John chapter number 6. I'd like for you to listen real closely and carefully to these verses. We're going to go back through them and magnify some things this morning. The Bible said, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And the Bible said, and Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And Jesus, when he lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. And he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove them, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, he said, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number, about 5,000. Kids, can you imagine that? I mean, 500 people would fill this building plumb up. So you'd have to fill this building up 10 times, and that's not counting the men or the women and the children. I'm telling you, there was a crowd there that day. I didn't mean to say this right now, but I'm just going to stop and say this. It would be like us coming in here and we had a small pizza, just one small pizza, and we had 5,000 men besides the children and the women. How in the world are we going to feed them with one pizza? Why, everybody ain't even going to get a pepperoni like that, are they? Amen. But in this story, this little lad's lunch is surrendered to the Lord Jesus, and Jesus begins to break it and bless it. And there's enough to feed everybody. Do y'all believe that Jesus could take one little pizza and feed 5,000 people? I do too. The Bible said he took 2 fishes and 5 loaves, began to break it and bless it. And everybody didn't get just a little bit. Everybody got full. As a matter of fact, they got so full they couldn't eat no more. And when they got done, they took up 12 baskets of the fragments that remained. I want to talk about this morning. I believe it'll be a blessing. Jesus took the loaves when he'd given thanks, and he distributed to his disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise the fishes, as many as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, you see that? When they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, they said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Trent, you come up here, honey, and pray for us. I'm going to take this microphone and hold it just so everybody can hear you. Okay, you lead us in prayer, buddy. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father God, I want to pray for Rick. I want to pray for everybody here. Amen. In your sweet and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Trent. Amen. I want us to notice several things here as we look at this story today in the Bible. And it's my intent to try to be a blessing to these young people. I don't get to do this very often, brother. But I praise God for the opportunity this morning. I'd like for all the teenagers that are in the building to stand. Would just all the teenagers, if you're 13 to 19 years old, would you stand up? All the teenagers that are in the building. Okay, some of you are going a little bit slow. Amen. Yeah. We have, let's see, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 teenagers and 1 wannabe. That was Ralph Roberts, amen. It might be 18. I don't think I saw Connor back there. Y'all can sit down. Thank you. That's a blessing. Now I want all the children in the church that are not yet teenagers, 12 and under, Would you stand up? Just stand up for just a minute. All the children. And there's my little baby granddaughter over there. I'm sure Sawyer just heard me, and he's standing up in the nursery. Amen. Back here's Maggie. Over there's little Hannah. Amen. I appreciate all the children, don't you? Let's sit down now. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, I want to bring a message this morning about Jesus feeding the 5,000. And I want to try to put it down on a level that we can get a hold of. Before I do that, I want to just say this, and I'm not saying this in a critical manner. I'm saying this so that we'll stop just a moment and count our blessings for what we just saw. I talked to a man last week. I'm almost sure that he told me he was 59 years old. And I know he told me this. He's the youngest man in his church. Did everybody hear what I just said? Now, I'm not being critical of that church. Not at all. But what I am saying is we ought to stop and count our blessings. We ought to stop and thank the Lord for the nursery. Thank the Lord for the children's churches, both of them. And thank the Lord for our teenagers. Thank the Lord for our young moms and dads. And then, Brother Ralph, even thank the Lord for old people like you. Amen. I had to do that. He tried to stand up and be a teenager, Brother Steve. Amen. Amen. I'm surprised that Sister Shelby didn't swat him. Amen. All right, everybody look this way now, and let me just bring a message right quick that'll help you, I believe. I want you to notice, first of all, this little lad. If you think about it, you know, a lot of people think that God can't use a young person or that God can't use a small person. I don't know how big the lad was. The Bible doesn't say it. It just said he was a lad. But I want you to know that God used this young man this day, and I want to concentrate on him. And I want to leave the young people today, the teenagers and the children, with the thought God can use you. And God wants to use you. Amen. Somebody said the children are the church of tomorrow. I believe if that's your attitude, I believe that's where a lot of churches are today, the reason they're in the shape they're in. Amen. The children are not the church of tomorrow. If they're not the church today, there'll be no church tomorrow. And we need them, amen, and we love them, and we're going to train them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord to the best of our ability. But I'll give you just several things real quickly I noticed about this little lad. Number one, he was in the right place. How many of you all know that there's wrong places for us and there's right places for us? You say, preacher, how was he in the right place? A couple of things quickly. Number one, he was with a bunch of people that was following Jesus. Did you know the world, listen, the majority's not following Jesus, but it doesn't matter where you go, God will have a remnant. God will have some people that are following Jesus. And we ought to get with that crowd that's going towards the Lord, not that crowd that's going away from the Lord. And I see that. And not only was he in those people that with those people following Jesus, but he was where Jesus was, and evidently he was pretty close to Jesus. Because Andrew, when Jesus is talking, you know, Philip said 200 penny worth of bread wouldn't feed this crowd. What are we going to do? We're going to send them away? And Andrew, he said, well, there's a little lad here. He was in the right place. That little word, here. Here. He was in the right place. He was close to Jesus. So, being close to Jesus, Jesus could use him to meet the need in somebody else's life. Now, I'm going to say this to you. Listen, the teenagers know it. Young moms and dads know it. There's all kinds of things in the world that wants to drive a wedge between you and Jesus. The devil don't want you close to Jesus. This world don't want you close to Jesus. And to be honest with you, we all have an old body that's stinking flesh. It don't want to be close to Jesus. But the Lord wants us to be close to him. In order to be close to him, there needs to come a day in our lives when we receive him as our Lord and our Savior. When we accept him, believing that he died on that old rugged cross, that he was buried, he rose again the third day according to the scripture. That's the first step and getting close to Jesus. What is it that would keep us in one little three-letter word? This is dangerous, I guess. But what is that little three-letter word that would keep us from being close to Jesus? Sin. It doesn't matter whatever it is that's keeping us from being close to Jesus. It doesn't matter what it is. It's sin. It's sin. And so he was in the right place. I want you to see this, and I think this is important. I want you to see in verse number 6 that there was a plan. The Bible said here that when shall we buy bread that these may eat in verse 5? And then he said to prove him, Jesus did in verse 6, for he himself knew what he would do. I want to tell you something this morning. If we get a hold of this right here, listen, everybody in this building get a hold of this right here. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He knew there was a need and he had a plan. Can I tell you this? This is what I want to say to these young people this morning. God has a plan for your life. I thought about this morning as I was studying and meditating and preparing. I thought about when I was these children's age. I didn't realize it, but God had a plan for my life. I didn't realize it when Mr. and Mrs. Whiteley, Bobby, was coming by on the bus and picking us up and taking us to church. I didn't realize God had a plan for my life. I didn't realize it when Brother Howard Mitchell, come up here a minute, Connor. Come up here a minute. You stand right here, and I'll show you what Howard Mitchell looked like to me when I was your age. Like this. Look up here. Amen. And he had a real deep voice. And when we acted up in class, he said, boys, straighten up. You know what I did?
What?
I trembled. I shook. I straightened up. I knew I wasn't no match for Howard Mitchell, amen. I didn't know when God had Howard Mitchell standing up there, that man was a guard. He watched the plan at night. And Brother Steve, he carried a Bible with him, and he memorized verse after verse after verse. Brother Brian, very rarely did he open his Bible when he was teaching Sunday school. He was quoting scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture, and he loved us. Now, I didn't realize at that time that God had a plan for my life, but God has a plan for your life. Let me ask you something this morning. Anybody have any idea where you might find out what God's plan is for your life? Where might you find that out? Where might you find that out? War Warner, where might you find that out? In the Bible. Right answer. Whoever put that $100 in the plate, put another $100 right there. Amen. That's a right answer. In the Bible. Where else might we find God's plan for our life? Where else? Let me give you a clue. Where? In prayer. That's exactly right. If we take the Bible and we take prayer, we might find God's plan for our life. God had a plan. This little boy didn't know it, but God already had a plan. Where else might we find God's plan? Yes, honey. Help me. Well, I was going to say children's church, but I guess it might just be church. We can find God's plan for our life. How many's had God speak to your heart when you were sitting in that? No wonder God said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Get together because I have a plan. And listen, church is part of God's plan for our life. God uses the church to get the gospel message out. He sends missionaries from the church. He calls evangelists out of the church. Now listen to me. Trent, if you would have told me, son, when I was your age, you're going to be standing up one day when you've got gray hair and 11 grandchildren preaching to a bunch of Baptists, I'd have said, you're a nut. I'm telling you, I couldn't even give a book report. I was as bashful, I was as backwards as anybody could be, amen? Give me something to cut on or something to build and I was fine. But you asked me to get up and speak to people. But God had a plan. I didn't know it, but God knew what he would do with my life. Let me ask you something. I'm asking you very seriously, every one of you, look at me, listen to me. How many of you want to know what God's plan is for your life? How many of you all know that God's plan will bring happiness? It'll bring peace. That doesn't mean it's all a bed of roses. But I'm telling you, there's people that's been through very, very, very hard and trials in their life, but they know they're following God, and they have joy in their heart even in the midst of the dark times. God has a plan. I want you to notice this. I never had thought about this before. I don't believe I ever thought about it. But this little boy, this little lad, we don't know his name, but he was prepared. They were going out there where Jesus was. And it amazes me, Brother Steve, that I don't see where anybody else was prepared. Amen. But that one little boy took lunch. And let me give you another thought. I'm not sure. I can't be dogmatic where I'm not sure. But is it possible that this little boy knew that he was going out there where Jesus was? What if he packed the lunch for Jesus? That's a thought that come to my mind. What if he said, well, you know, Jesus might be hungry. And mama, how about if I put this stuff in this bag, these 5 loaves and these 2 small fishes? Now, I don't know that for sure. But either way, he was prepared. He was prepared. He had him some lunch. He was prepared if he would have the lunch for Jesus. And what I'm trying to tell you is this. You need to understand, really, really, really understand that when you're young, that's the time to prepare to serve the Lord. If you get prepared, you know, you might think, well, I don't know what I'll do. There might be some young ladies right here that might be a preacher's wife or a missionary's wife. They might be the next one, Sister Kim, keeping the books in the church. We never know what these young men, what God might require of them. But if they would just begin to get prepared, the Lord is my shepherd. Now listen to me carefully. Here's your challenge. The next time you come out here, that little booklet right there, it goes behind your back when you do Psalm 23. Is everybody with me on that? Is everybody with me? You think you can do Psalm 23 with it behind your back? I believe you can too. You want to know why? Because you've got a lot better mind than I do. And God will help you if you'll just prepare. He'll help you. Now, I thought about, well, how do we prepare? There's a book we ought to read every day. What's it called? The Bible. We ought to read it every day. That helps us to prepare. When we read the Bible, God's talking to us. When we pray, we're talking to God, right? Should we do those two things every day? Now, what about when we talk to somebody else? Like if we invite somebody, invite our friend to church, or invite our friend to children's church. You see, when we read our Bible, God's talking to us. When we pray, we're talking to God. But when we speak to somebody else about the good things of the Lord, then we're talking for God. The Apostle Paul, he said, we beseech you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. And so this young man was prepared. And I think that's very, very important. I want you to notice the next thing is the provision. How many believes that Jesus literally fed 5,000 men and the women and the children? How many of y'all believe that? Now, let me give you this. I thought about this. Listen to me carefully, real carefully right here. Jesus could have looked up towards heaven and said, bread. And everybody had bread. You say, how do you know he could have done that? Because he spoke the world into existence. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. I'm going to make a point. Jesus could have looked up towards heaven and said, raven! And all the ravens in the world come carrying everybody bread, because that raven carried that bread to Elijah. He could have said, raven! Here they come. But Jesus didn't do that. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Jesus is telling us in this story that he has a desire to use what you have. The songwriter said, little is much when God is in it. And this lad, he had a lunch, 2 small fishes. How many of y'all like sardines? not me. I can't put anything in my mouth that I can't get past my nose. Amen. I don't know if the two small fishes was like sardines, but I hope they smelled better than sardines if they were. Amen. But let me tell you something. Two small fishes, five little loaves. God, the Son of God, just kept breaking them and blessing them. This was a picture of something. I'm going to get into this message tonight, the Lord willing. But what was that bread a picture of as it was broken? Does anybody know what it was a picture of? It was a picture of Jesus. He's the bread of life. His body was going to be broken on the old rugged cross so that we could have eternal life. And Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. So the provision that we see going on here, he could have spoken it. He could have used a raven. But instead, he chose to use a little boy's lunch. The little boy was in the right place. He was next to the man that had a plan, the Lord Jesus. The little boy was prepared. And the little boy lunch is going to be used to provide for many, many, many people. Brother Ralph, years ago, when I was just a little towhead boy living in Harford County, Maryland, they'd come by and on Saturday and knock on my door. Knock on the door. If my mom and dad were home, they would run and tell us to answer the door. They didn't want anything to do with the church folk at that time. But they sure did appreciate the church folk coming by and hauling their youngins to the house of God. But let me give you some good news. There come a day when mom and dad got interested in what was going on down to church. Come a day when mom and dad got their heart right with God, got saved by the grace of God. Now they wanted to take their children to the house of God. But I want you to know, when I was a little towhead boy, I don't know how many sermons I've preached in a little over 30 years. I don't know. I don't keep records. God's keeping the record. But I've preached a bunch of them. When I went with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, I stripped my throat out in a month. I'm almost sure, Brother Kevin, I counted it. I preached 36 times in 1 month and couldn't hardly talk. All I'm saying is that God was going to take a little boy that had no idea that God had a plan. He was going to grow up, and God was going to use that little boy to provide bread, to give the word of God out down through the years. And if I leave this world today, I'll leave with no regrets that I had a part in God's plan for my life. That God had a plan and that I surrendered to his plan. The last thing that I see here in verse number 14, those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, let me ask you something. If we took one little pizza, small pizza, if we took a small pizza and Jesus was standing up here and breaking it and giving it to the deacons or the disciples, and the deacons was giving it out, if we saw Jesus feed 5,000 men and the women and the children on top of that with one small pizza, do you think we'd ever forget it? Well, let me ask you this. Do you think we would think something like this? There's just something special about a man that can just keep breaking off pizza and it just keeps going and keeps going and keeps going. We would know he's not just an ordinary man. And that's what's going on right here in the Bible. The Bible said right here, they seen the miracle that Jesus did. They said, this is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. Now let me tell you something. Jesus is a prophet, but he's much more than a prophet. Jesus is a priest, but he's much more than a priest. Jesus is a king, and he's much more than a king. Jesus is the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world. In this time when Jesus was breaking this bread and feeding these 5,000, listen to me carefully and I'm closing. People were believing on Jesus. Not everybody. We're going to find that out tonight. Some was following Jesus in this chapter because they had their belly full. I'm going to tell you who the real followers are. They're the ones that have their heart full. Not the ones that just have their belly full. We're going to find out later in the chapter that a whole bunch of them went away. But in this economy that we're talking about here, in this story, people are believing because of what they see. Let me ask you this. Do we believe because of what we see? Is there a difference now than it was back then? Jesus is not walking on the face of the earth today, is he? So he sent the Holy Spirit. Brother Brian told us about that in Sunday school. He went away and he said, I'll send you another comforter just like me. He'll comfort you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you into all truth. What's truth? How do you know what the truth is? The Bible. Sanctify them. Thank you, Warner. You're ahead of me, ain't you, buddy? Amen. I'll let you preach next time, Warner, okay? Okay. Amen. He wasn't sweating, but he is now. Amen. He's back here trying to figure out if this thing would hang on his little ear or not, ain't you, buddy? Amen. It would. It would. Let me tell you something about Jesus. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus provided this need. And now, we don't believe now because of what we see. We believe now because of what we hear. The Bible said, faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by, does anybody know the next words? The Word of God. So that's why, how many of y'all done figured out when Brother Aaron stands up over there, he's going to give you the Word? You want to know why? Because that's what you need. That's what he needs. That's what I need. That's what everybody in this building needs, is the Word of God. It's the Word of God that'll get us saved. Faith in the Lord Jesus. And it's also the Word of God that'll keep us serving the Lord throughout our life. The Bible said we walk by faith and not by sight. Jesus comes on the scene. He's doing miracles left and right. He's healing people. He's walking up to people. He spits on the ground, takes that mud, puts it on a man's eyes that's never seen anything. And now that man can see. He's got the power to raise the dead. He's got the power that the lame can walk again. He's got the power that the deaf can hear. And he's healing people. And people are saying, wow, wow, what a Savior. You know what I'm doing today? I'm just reading his book. And I'm still saying, wow, wow, what a Savior. You want to know why? Because it's just as real to me as if I were seeing it with my eyes. Because I have faith that God has given me to believe his word. I want to thank you all for coming in the auditorium with us today. You've done a great job. How many of you all know now God has a plan for your life? He has a plan. The first step in that plan is that you trust Jesus as your Savior. That's the first and most important step, but that's not the last step. Then you get up from there, you follow the Lord in believer's baptism, you begin to read your Bible, you begin to pray, and there's no telling what God will do with your life on down the road. I had the privilege years ago, when I close with this, to go back to the church where my bus driver and his wife were, to go back to the church where Brother Mitchell, my Sunday school teacher, remember my Sunday school teacher? I think he was 6'8". And he was like Brother Merv, Brother Ralph. He wasn't singing tenor in the choir. He had a real deep voice. I mean, it'd scare you. As a little boy, it'd scare you. Boy, he took his Sunday school class seriously. I mean, he taught just like he was talking to 10,000 people. He believed the Word of God was right. I can remember one thing Brother Mitchell would always say. I'll never forget this, even though I was a little boy. He said, I believe you ought to tithe.
And he said, I don't believe you ought to take the governments out before you tithe. Boy, that went over like a lead balloon. You're welcome, Brother Howard. You're up there. Shout, brother. Amen. Amen. In other words, don't tithe on it after the government got their part. You say, preacher, you've lost your mind. No, I'm telling you about a Sunday school teacher that loved Jesus. I'm telling you about a little boy when I was y'all's age that had no idea that God had a plan for my life. Little girls, some of you not so little, God has a plan. Somewhere God has a husband for you, little girls. I'll tell you what, if you want to enjoy life, you wait on God to give you the one that he has for you. Young men, you wait on God to give you that lady that he has for you. You say, these are children. Turn around about three times. And they'll be graduating college. They need to know that God has a plan. I love you all. Amen. I appreciate you. Let's all bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Thank you this morning, Lord, for the privilege. The privilege, Lord, to preach the Word of God. Lord, I thank you for our vans, for the van drivers. Thank you, Lord, for the moms and the dads that entrust their children to us here at Bible Way. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the moms and the dads in our church that want to rear their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Lord, I know this. I've read this story and it's true and it's real. But there's a little boy today that's so glad that he went where Jesus was. He's so glad that he gave Jesus what he had. Lord, you've never required of us what we don't have. You just require of us what we do have. And Lord, I want to thank you for these children that have listened so attentively, that have paid attention this morning and behaved so well. They sang so good. My chains are gone. I've been set free. God, I pray that you'll use their lives, that you'll guide their lives, that you'll help them along life's way. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.